This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly.
This episode of Know-How is brought to you by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they want you to try their shave set for free. Just pay shipping. Start your free trial today at harrys.com and use the code KNOWHOW.
Today on KNOWHOW,
traveling for the content producing professional.
It's a Twitch show where we build, bend, break, and upgrade. I'm Father Robert Ballasaire.
And I'm Brian Burnett.
And for the next however many minutes it takes, we're going to be showing you some of the things that we've been playing with so you can take them home and geek out on your own. Brian!
Padre!
It's the new year.
It is the new year. It feels new, right?
It feels fresh. Right now, we are actually at CES.
That is the magic of video, isn't it?
Go figure. And it looks like we're here, but we're not here.
It looks like the studio, but we really just picked everything up and took it to Las Vegas. And it's definitely not December 9th, a Friday evening.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. No, this is January 2nd, and we're doing our thing.
Yeah, that's why we're able to predict the future.
Yeah, go figure. Folks, there is something that we've been holding back for a while because it's been asked of us by a lot of folks, and that is, what do we take with us? If we become podcasters, if we become content producers, what kind of gear should we bring and how should we bring it? This is actually an important thing for a mobile professional.
Absolutely. And if you are someone who goes to CES for fun, not for work like we do, you might want to record some stuff. Like maybe that is the thing you want to do. You want to be able to get paid when you go to an event like CES and record some stuff. And we're going to show you how to do it.
Exactly. We wanted to give you a nice, easy-to-follow guide on some of the gear that you should consider. You don't necessarily have to buy the pieces of gear that we buy, but you should consider the categories because it could make the difference between you deciding to do this as a career or you just posting on Facebook every once in a while.
Well, and I think we have to preface, too, this is how you kind of got your start
This is exactly how I got my
start. Like, you just went to events and put cameras in people's faces and said, talk to me.
It's better than that. I went to events, made interviews, and then came back and Lisa, I'm like, hey, do you want to show this on Twit?
And they kind of look at you like, we didn't ask you to do that, but okay. Actually, you did a good job.
Yeah,
you did good.
The first time it was a Maker Faire. And I just went and I came back. I'm like, hey, so Lisa, I know that I've only been on TNT like twice, but I did this thing at Maker Faire. And you could show it maybe?
Why? For some reason, I'm imagining like you're like a little kid. Like, hey, like I went.
Hey,
and
Lisa.
I recorded this.
You know.
I don't. If you like it.
And yeah, so that's how I got my start. And I want to help other people get their start.
Definitely.
You got to be passionate about it. I mean, you have to actually enjoy what you're doing. But
you do. If you do,
why not pick up a couple of pieces of gear that'll help you to turn it into a career?
Right. Or at least at the very figure out which pieces of gear you need to accomplish your goals.
Right. Now, first of all, I do want to start by saying I have been using this same camera for about, it's got to be 8 years now.
8 years?
This is an old camera.
So it has VHS then.
Oh.
You just pop it in there?
A mini disc.
Oh, mini disc. Yeah. I remember my dad had one of those.
Stop. Oh, this is a Panasonic AVCHD 50. This is the 150s.
Ooh, with a Leica lens?
It's got a really nice lens. It's a Leica lens. Plus, this is a CCD camera, which means it's got excellent low light capabilities. In fact, here, go ahead and take a look through this.
Ah, jeez. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got it sparked up right now because I've got everything on manual because manual's the way to go.
Manual is the way to go.
It really is.
Just like when you're driving.
Yeah. But what I loved about this camera is the fact that this was the prosumer version of the professional camera that Panasonic had at the time that recorded on P2 cards.
Can we see Alex over there? How is the low light? Oh my God. Usually he's just shrouded in darkness.
See, I got my little manual focus here. Wait, hold on. Right.
Focus. That's like Cloverfield.
I know.
Focus. Oh, you know. Cameraman, focus, please.
There. Oh.
Come on. Ah.
See.
Hold on. I know what the problem is. The problem is
you're fired.
I actually have
rule number one: when you go to an event to record, you had a lens on.
I had a lens on.
Make sure you know how to use it.
Wait. There we go.
Whoa. Whoa. See, now, he is actually under lights
now. It's focusing on the wrong thing. All right, come back. Go back, Alex.
Wait, oh, he looks happy about this experiment.
Look at that. Oh.
Wow.
What?
Oh. Wow. See, usually he's not lit up, and usually the shroud of his darkness, his own darkness, his despair. See, this studio is actually fully lit right now. That dark space is Alex's attitude.
Folks, black holes are not theoretical.
No, they
they run the TriCaster.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, let's stop bagging on Alex, because the reason why I'm talking about this is this is the camera I chose because I wanted to have all the same features that the crazy expensive professional camera had, but I wanted to write on SD cards, not P2 cards. And the difference back then, a 32 gigabyte P2 card might cost you $1,000.
Whoa.
And a 32 gigabyte SD card might cost you $40.
And there's no quality difference?
Well, there is, in that the P2 recorded pretty much raw, and this recorded super compressed. It was AVC HD. Mm-hmm. But for what I was doing, which I knew I was going to be publishing on the internet, it was way beyond the quality.
It's already going to get compressed.
Precisely.
Especially if you put it up on YouTube.
On YouTube, exactly. So, like, for someone watching on YouTube, the difference between running a super pro version of the camera and this version was nothing. In fact, this actually looked a little bit better most of the time because of the way that I used it. Car door is open. Hold on, let me put that back in there.
Oh, hi, camera.
Oh, how about that?
So how much would this run you now?
You couldn't even buy this now. When I bought it, I had saved up a lot of my YouTube revenue, and it was like a $5,000 camera.
Oh, 5,000 YouTube bucks.
5,000 YouTube bucks. That was like 2.5 months of YouTube.
Or 2 million YouTube bucks and 5,000 real dollars.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But what I really love about this, and this is something I do want to make very clear because this makes a difference. One of the things that you'll see is I reuse a lot of events, a lot of footage.
No.
I do. Because it's, it took us a lot of time to get that. I want to use it.
Might as well get our worth out of it.
Precisely. But that's only possible because I archive everything. Right. I never throw video away, which is not possible if you are one of these people who are like, I'm going to shoot on a DSLR because suddenly your 2 minute shoot is 3 gigabytes worth of files.
Right.
On this, an hour, shooting an hour of video at a decent compression rate is going to use up maybe like a gig or 2 gigs.
Wow.
Even the TriCaster. The TriCaster, you're talking about multiple gigabytes, especially if you're recording in ProRes. Mm-hmm. So that's great in that it gives you a lot of quality, but it also means you're probably going to have to start tossing files out because you just have too many.
Well, and I think the other side of that coin is that you have to know your camera pretty well then.
Yes,
because you can't make mistakes recording and then try and fix them post.
No, and that's why I'm a big fan of being the double or the triple threat. Be a producer, an editor, and a cameraman.
I'd say you're a quadruple threat.
Yeah, well, I'm just a threat.
Yeah, just period. Yeah.
No, but because if you know how hard it is to edit something, you're not going to go, I'm just going to fix it in post. You're like, no, I'm going to take it again because I want it to look right.
The only people who say fix it in post are the people who have never edited before.
Who have never done post. Yeah. It's like, go back to this, Alex. So it's like,
we got this.
It's good. We'll fix that in post, right? It's like, no. Yeah. What's wrong with you?
Do it right the first time.
Slap. Yeah. So just know that when you choose your camera, you don't have to choose a big model. You don't have to get a $5,000 camera. You can get a very decent, high quality, low cost camera for like $600, maybe even $400. Mm-hmm. But look at what kind of files it's going to create, because you do want the ability to archive. You're not going to do that if, like, I love the Blackmagic Studio Micros.
I do too.
The file sizes are tremendous. They're huge. So what I always end up doing is I end up recording to my little AVC HD encoder, and it's a lower quality file, but I can now store it.
Right. And I think there's no problem having one of those cameras like the Blackmagic, but if you do go out in the field like with one of those, you will have to limit yourself in what you do.
Precisely.
Like, I feel like you have more freedom to record as much as you want.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and because it's like, oh, I recorded an extra 30 minutes. Oh, how will I ever store those 300 megabytes worth of files?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because I have a friend who uses the Blackmagic, but when he does events, he has it very much pinned down to what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And if anything goes beyond those things that happened, he runs out of space.
Womp. All right, let's talk about something else, and that is the fact that a lot of you, if you want to get into this content game, aren't even going to be doing video. In fact, we know it here on Twit, most of our downloads our audio. Know-how is kind of the exception because we get a lot of video, but you take like our flagship shows and it's like 90%+ audio downloads.
Right. It makes sense for a lot of those longer format shows, but like I don't understand how someone would just listen. I mean, I can't stand listening to myself anyway, but not to be able to see what we're talking about or the anguish on Alex's face when we show him on camera.
Favorite is like 30% of our downloads. 30% of our downloads on Coding 101 were audio only. I'm like,
no.
But what are you watching?
I don't need to see the code. I feel
it. You feel
the
it?
Code.
It just it like permeates.
It's like the Matrix. The ones and zeros start coming
out. I'm totally with you. Totally with you, bro. Okay. Now, what about
audio
microphones? We want good microphones. Of course, you know this if you've ever watched any show on the TwitTV network. If you watched the previous production episodes we've done on KnowHow, you know that we are in love with the Heil PR40s. Yes. I like the Audio-Technica 2020s. There's nothing wrong with those. Mm-mm. These are 3 to 4 times more expensive, but these are really the gold standard. They sound so clean. And Alex, actually, we got a link here. Yeah, you can find them on Amazon for like $320 all the way up to $400, depending on what kind of accessories you want bundled with the mic. Mm-hmm. But it's a beautiful mic for audio, for vocals.
Especially for the things that we do. Like a in-studio where you want to eliminate background noise. Would you use this as a handheld?
Probably not. I don't think handheld is probably going to be the way to go with that.
You definitely want to hold it like this when you use it, though.
One thing to remember about that is it is a front-firing microphone, so you do want to be speaking into the front. But no matter what mic you find, find out exactly what capture pattern it has.
Right.
And also find out where the mic actually is. Like the AT2020, mm-hmm. it's a side address. The mic's on the side. That's where the element is.
So if you talk
to the front, it
wouldn't hear.
No.
Yeah, and so I'd say for most of the things that we do, this is perfect because we want to just hear the one person that's talking. We don't want any of the background noise picked up. And in a lot of instances, we have people sitting next to each other where if you get that crosstalk,
it's distracting.
It is, and so that's why we use these mics, and these are great for that.
Well, like this and the PR35. 35 is what we use when we're on the road. Mm-hmm. They've got excellent noise rejection. So if a lot of stuff is happening like over on this side, you won't pick it up. Or at least, maybe a little bit, but it's really, really diminished. I love that about that.
Yeah, a lot less than you would on a typical microphone.
Right. So this is what I would recommend. Also, if you're going to get this, you need to get this. This is the Shure X2U. It's a $100 device. You've seen me talk about this before. They've got a new version that will do USB and Lightning in case you want to go to an iOS device. So that works. But all it does is that. So now I have a USB output. Mm-hmm. You can buy microphones. Like there's a USB version of the Audio-Technica 2020 that have USB out. Mm-hmm. But what I like about this setup is that I can use it with a straight XLR system or with a USB. I kind of like that. That's a good setup to have.
Yeah, it makes you a little bit more flexible when you want to use the mic for other things.
Precisely. And this sounds phenomenal. If you listen to any of the shows that I did when I'm not in the studio, mm-hmm. I'm on a PR40. Even if, like when I was in Rome recording ads or recording voiceovers, it was a PR40 and it was an X2U. So mm-hmm. I don't just talk about these, I use them. I have like 4 PR40s. And
I'm
like
not just a sponsor. I'm a fan.
And I've lost all my hair.
None of that is real, is it?
No. They told me the plugs would grow in. All right. So that's a decent mic to start with. If you're looking for something a bit more, because if you're using a Heil PR40 with a Shure X2U, you still do need a computer because you have to plug it in and use something like Sound Booth to record.
I use Adobe Audition.
That's the successor. To Sound Booth. So they got rid of Sound Booth and it became Audition.
I guess I'm too old, too young for Sound Booth.
Bishop Padre, if I may chime in, Audition was first. Sound Booth was its own thing that kind of sort of replaced Audition, and then they brought Audition back.
Oh. So what you are is, I guess I'm New Coke.
So I should drop.
No,
mic.
Don't drop that mic. Drop that. Oh. Even that, you might damage the castle. Okay, here's something else I really, really like. I don't know if you could buy these new anymore. This is an H4N. It's a Zoom, a Samson recorder. This is their handy recorder. What I love about this is it's got stereo mics up front, and you can rotate these to change the pickup pattern. So you can either make it very small pickup or very wide pickup. Mm-hmm. This is great for like putting in the middle of a concert hall.
Okay.
But the other cool thing is this. It's got two XLR connectors. If I'm in the field, I can actually connect two of these PR40s.
Right.
Then I use the USB interface to go into my computer, and I can broadcast without that annoying problem you were talking about where you have competing mics.
That is awesome.
Yeah, and I can actually have three people. I can have one person on this mic and two people on the other two mics. This is a little pocket studio.
And you can just plug in and monitor the audio, too, while you record?
Absolutely, and it records onto an SD card in MP3 or in straight wave if you want uncompressed.
I like it.
And I think the longest I've ever run one of these is about 12 hours.
Whoa.
On batteries, on two AA batteries.
And how is the audio on the there?
Phenomenal.
Yeah?
Okay. Phenomenal. This is one of the only mics I know that actually sounds better than a PR40.
I like, too, that you can put it on a tripod.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like it has a little...
They put a lot of thought into this device. Now, the newer devices that Zoom has released, they're a little less luxurious than this. Mm-hmm. They're a bit more simple. But the H4N, for me, is still the gold standard. So look for that if you're getting serious.
So I just noticed, though, you have not taken the plastic off of that.
But it stays new.
How long are you going to leave the plastic on everything?
This is like 5 years old, too. Hey, I'm so Filipino, man. Stop hating on my culture.
It's got to come off sooner or later.
No. Okay. Here's what he's talking about, folks. If you look here, if you go to the side view here. There you go. See?
That bugs me. I can't.
No.
The little tab.
Okay. So in like 5 years, when this plastic gets all scratched up, I'm going to take it off. It's like it's brand new.
Right. Right when it's obsolete and you don't need it anymore.
It will never be obsolete. This thing's beautiful, Brian. How dare you? How dare you?
Okay. And that plastic on your sofa is going to keep that thing lasting
a long time. And when you wrap the TV, you keep the plastic on the bezel. Right?
Never get rid of that. Okay.
Hey, look, just last week I removed the last bit of plastic from this laptop. It's 4 years old.
You were so proud of yourself the other day because you pulled out an adapter or something
it
that
was
had
like
plastic
new.
On it.
It was like new. Hey, okay, here. Actually, it's right here. Look at this.
Wow, it's
like new, right?
It's almost like you've never used it.
Because the plastic was on. See, you just want to throw away your money.
Because, you know what? Scars give character, is what it is.
All right. Okay, Scar. All right, so let's move away from audio. We've got some audio choices. Let's talk a little bit about lighting.
Yes.
You can spend a lot of money. Light panels are great. The color temperature is fantastic. But I'm not spending $1,000 for a single array.
No. But what? There is a price point that you should range in, right?
You should.
It depends.
I don't.
You don't.
Okay. You'll see me using a lot of these. Alex, actually, we have a link for this. This is a Chromo. It's a 160 LED light.
Wow.
It's not as big as that DSLR. It's not good quality light. It really isn't. And actually, you can't see it here, but I think one of the other LEDs died out of the box. And I'm like, meh.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's so cheap. These things are $26.
Okay.
They're very, very cheap. But what I love about these is they will use multiple batteries. So this is the same battery that powers this camera.
Right. It's just an adapter, right?
I only have to carry one battery system, or I could eat up a bunch of AA batteries, which that would be silly. Don't do that.
So what kind of... light length of time would you have with AA batteries?
You'd probably be able to run this for like 6 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean,
so if you needed to.
Let me turn this down so it's not.
But you're going to be throwing a lot of AA batteries.
Precisely.
If you do that.
But I mean, if you look at this, it looks bright, but actually look through this camera, Alex. If you look, the color temperature is all off. Right?
Yeah, I'm.
You notice that?
I can't tell. Is that a good view to look at?
It's not. It gets a little. So if you're going to use this kind of a light, what you do need is you need a camera that will allow you to set color temp.
Okay.
Because you put a color card in front of this light, and it will determine, okay, that's what white is supposed to be, and then it can fix the little bluish-green thing going on with the lights.
And there's a lot of contrast between me
there's
and you
super,
when we're using
super a lot of contrast.
So you're going to be setting different temperatures if you're filming you or me. Yeah.
But I will say one thing. There's something that I do like about the more expensive lights. And that's when they have the color temperature that you can adjust.
I haven't seen that.
Bluish or reddish, which is very important if you're going to be doing filming inside of like convention centers because they've got those lights.
The fluorescent, usually.
It's horrible color. It makes everything look orange or puke green.
It's pretty bad because you kind of have to compromise between, are things going to look orange or am I just not going to see the person?
Right. It's like, oh, I guess that's what they look like.
And so there's been a couple of events I've done where Padre just looks orange.
Just very, very orange.
Very orange.
How about that? All right, let's move on. A couple of other things that I always like to do is I always like to have a couple of mini cameras no matter what I'm mm-hmm. doing. I don't necessarily keep this as part of my production kit, but I like to keep it in my bag because you never know when you're going to need another camera that mm-hmm. might possibly get destroyed. I carry around two of these, but, you know, if I need to put a camera someplace where it could potentially walk away, I'm not going to want to put the $3,000-$5,000 camera. I'll put, like, the GoPro Session or this older GoPro.
There's a couple of reasons why I bring my GoPro with me most every time I go out on a shoot, and it's if I want to do a time lapse. Like if I'm covering an event right. and I want to just get a bunch of stills and then compress them together, GoPros are perfect for that with the wide field of view. But also, I know there's been a couple of events where we wanted to put like a car driving over.
Right, right.
And if you don't measure that out right the first time, and you're using the big camera for that?
Wah, wah. Wah, wah.
So, yeah, use a GoPro for things like that.
Yeah. Again, because losing a $300 to $500 camera is not a tragedy compared to losing a $5,000 to $10,000 camera.
Yeah, that's true. And GoPros tend to take more of a beating.
Yes, they do. Yes,
it'll survive.
One last bit, especially if you're going to use a GoPro, I have fallen in love with little monitors. Now, this is a Marshall. This is their MCT5. What I love about this monitor is it will take multiple inputs. It'll take both. I can use the DIN style, and I can also use HDMI. But I can take multiple sources and show it on one monitor. The reason why this is important is if I'm doing a multiple camera setup, I can actually run a bunch of like BNC cables over to this,
what?
And I can see all of my different views in one monitor.
That's cool.
So much better than walking from camera to camera to camera.
Very handy, definitely.
Yeah, and especially if you're like connected to a GoPro, mm-hmm. this is a great way to actually add a screen to a GoPro without having to buy the GoPro screen.
Right. I think the new additions come with the screen integrated, but still, like you said, that doesn't help you if you have to keep walking to each camera to check.
Right.
Cool.
Well, next up, you know what we got to do? We got to talk about how we're going to carry all this stuff. Brian, this is a lot of gear. This is expensive gear. You don't just want to throw it in a backpack.
You don't just throw it in like a sack or something?
Well, you could if you hate your gear.
I don't, because I actually like pay money for that stuff.
Brian, I'm the guy who keeps the plastic on the device. Do I really want to be scratching it up in my backpack?
No. You would not do that. You would not do that.
So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at some solutions for the people who need to hold their gear. But before we do that, let's go ahead and take a moment to thank the sponsor of this episode of Know How.
Now, you all know that for decades, one big razor company has relentlessly increased prices and reaped immense profits at the expense of their customers. You know all the stories. You know how they get you, because they know that you have to come back time and time again to buy their blades when they get dulled. Well, Harry's is here to change all that. If you haven't heard of Harry's before, it was started by two best friends, Jeff and Andy. They were fed up with being overcharged for razors, so they started their own razor company to give people what they deserve, a great shave at a fair price. Harry's shave sets start at just $15 and include everything you need for a close, comfortable shave, including a weighted ergonomic handle, 5 precision-engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. I've been using Harry's since they became a sponsor of the TwitTV network, and I gotta say, it's changed how I look at shaving. Shaving used to be a chore. It was something that was uncomfortable, something that I had to do so I didn't look so ragged, but it was definitely not part of a luxurious experience. With Harry's and their wonderful handle, with their really, really nice and comfortable blades, with the shaving gel that just feels oh so good on my skin, well, it's changed that. Harry's isn't just a purveyor of shaving tools, they're a purveyor of a shaving experience. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades that they want you to try their shave set for free. Just cover shipping when you sign up. You heard that right. Start your free trial today at harrys.com and enter the code KNOWHOW at checkout. You'll also receive a post-shave balm for free. Stop ripping up your face and your wallet. Instead, go to Harry's. That's harrys.com and use the code KNOWHOW. And we thank Harry's for their support of KNOWHOW.
So, Brian, we've spent hundreds, thousands of dollars on gear.
Right. Now we, need now to we get have it. To protect it.
We got to protect it because we got to get it to CES. We got to get it to NAB. We got to bring it over to Berlin.
Right.
How are we going to do that?
We're not going to use a backpack.
No, we're not. No. In fact, we're going to use what's the gold standard. The gold standard is Pelican. I have fallen in love with their stuff. They're really the only company I would trust with all my gear because I've seen what their boxes, what their cases can actually handle.
I mean, I think you've put them through the paces a few times too, right?
I actually saw one of my cases drop out of the loading ramp for a jet. I was sitting next to the window.
That looks like my case.
Oh, that's my all of a sudden, like, oh.
Yeah.
All right. It was fine. Actually, that case is right here. This is the exact same case.
Did that little swan dive.
This thing has been all over the world. This has been to Rome. This has been to the Philippines. This has been to China. This has been over to Australia.
It looks like it.
And so it's this right here. That little scratch, that's where it hit the tarmac. But I mean, look, it's nothing. A lesser case would have been absolutely demolished by this thing.
Not the Pelican, though.
Not the Pelican. Oh, this uses a tongue and groove design. This is what made Pelican famous. If you look inside... I should probably open it first. If you look inside, there's a little O-ring inside these grooves, and then there's a tongue here. So when you close the case,
Is it waterproof?
It's waterproof and it's airproof. It's hermetically sealed.
Wow.
Which is really nice because it keeps moisture out, and at the same time, it makes sure that the environment inside your case doesn't get crazy. One of the things that can happen in a non-protected box, non-protected case, is... Mm-hmm. Let's say I'm loading my bags in a really, really moist area of the world.
Right.
I close this thing up, it gets into the hold of an airplane, and all that moisture starts to condense.
Yeah.
That's a bad thing, especially with camera gear.
Have you ever opened this up and heard it go...
Yeah, well, there's actually this. So right here, there's a little valve. This is the equalization valve.
That's awesome.
It keeps the box from vacuum locking while at the same time allowing it to be watertight.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. I did not know that.
Now, this is the pick and peel foam. If you look at the overhead, Alex, you'll notice that these are actually segmented. They're little squares. And that's because I can actually pick and pull what I need.
Does the Pelican come with that? Full?
Yes, normally. I mean, you can buy it without it. You can also buy it with a divider instead, and I'll show you what that looks like.
Okay.
But this is the end result. If you go to the overhead, look at this.
Perfect.
Oh, Brian, what about that?
It's so snug.
It's so snug.
Look at that. That's not going anywhere. You could drop that out of an airplane.
And it did.
Yep.
It did. And so what I did was I did a whole pick and peel with the foam. I've got slots for... four main batteries plus a bunch of smaller batteries up here. Mm-hmm. This is the slots that I have reserved for my microphone. So when I need to do mic work, I've got my lavalier mics in here. So, I mean, this is really a mobile studio. It's got all that I need. Like, for example, my monitor goes right here. It's got a little space for it, Brian.
Nice.
My light's got its own little space that I custom designed for it right here. Battery goes, well, let's put that one right there.
Everything has
X2U
its place.
Goes over here.
And every place has its thing.
Precisely. What I love about this is it will keep things from rattling around, which is what causes most of the damage. It's not necessarily the impact of the case. It's the impact of the object inside the case against the case.
Right. So it's almost like a concussion.
It's
not so much the impact, but how the brain then smashes into the thing, like the side of your skull.
Precisely. this is the 1650. This is about as big as I want to get. They make bigger cases, but then they get a little too unwieldy. If I'm traveling by myself, I try to make everything fit into one, two, three of these. The exterior dimensions are 31 inches, 31.59 inches by 20.47 inches by about 12 and a half inches high.
Yeah.
The interior dimensions are just a little bit of that. You lose about 2 to 3 inches on all sides. Mm-hmm. So I can put stuff that's 28.57 inches high, 17.52 inches wide, and about 10.65 inches high. That's the maximum size of things inside the case.
My favorite part about you saying all those measurements is that you did not round any of those numbers.
No.
28.57 inches.
Yeah.
Not 28 inches, not 29 inches.
What are you
going
to do with that?
No.
There is one big problem to this, though.
What's that?
It's heavy.
Yeah. It's really heavy. Well, it's pretty solid plastic.
Yeah. And actually...
And then once you have all the gear in it with batteries and
everything... If you took everything out, including the foam...
Yeah.
This case... is about 26 pounds.
Yeah. Whoa, you're hitting the limit then almost when you're doing flying and stuff,
when,
right?
Now, when I fly, because of the status I have, because I've flown so much, I can pack a 70-pound case. Mm-hmm. So that still gives me a lot of room to work with. But if you're limited to 50 pounds until you get dinged by ridiculous baggage fees,
right,
you've only got like 20-plus pounds to put stuff in here. That's not great.
The nice thing is, though, you could probably get away with a smaller one. Right?
You probably could.
Pelican makes smaller versions.
Precisely. Like, for example, this one. This is the Pelican 1170. I actually use this for my mics. Check this out. The PR40s fit in perfectly. The Shure X2U fits in perfectly. And now I know, like, this is my little mobile mic case.
That's solid.
Yeah.
Nice.
And this way I can put case in case. It's like caseception.
Caseception. One of my favorite things, too, that they've included is handles on both sides.
All three sides. So
all three
here,
sides.
There. You've got your own wheels, and you've got this extendable lever so that this actually becomes a piece of rolling luggage.
Right. So you don't have to just carry this around.
No. And I'm serious. This thing is, it's basically bulletproof. We have shot at it with 22s, and it will bounce 22s off.
Really?
45s, not so much.
No, I wouldn't imagine. Or 223. But, yeah, you know, you're talking velocity at that point.
Yeah, precisely.
But cool.
Yeah, so this is the 1650. Now, there is another case that I really like. Let me take this one. Oh, by the way, yeah.
It has nice snap.
These double latches.
Yeah.
And the padlocks were really great, except for the fact that the TSA keeps cutting off my TSA safe locks.
Well, that's because they showed the keys on in a photo. So,
TSA, you make me crack up. All right, let's get this off. So this is the largest case you can get and still carry stuff on the plane.
See, this, I think this is probably the one most people will look at.
So the 1510, this one didn't come with foam. This came with this. So this is the dividers, not foam.
Okay.
It's not pick and pull, but what you get with this is you get a lot of little Velcro-enabled little pockets so that I can create compartments as I need them.
And that's not to say you couldn't use pick and pull Velcro or
precisely
if you wanted to.
In fact, but what I like about this is it fits all my stuff. Actually, what I normally do when I do this, I take the hood off. Take the hood off. This will fit my camera. It will fit all my batteries. It will fit my light. It will even fit the the microphones that I need on the side. This is about the size that you'd want to be doing on the CES show floor.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Because when you're on the CES show floor, when you do an interview, you're done, and then you look, and you're like, oh, I have to go all the way over there, pack everything up. You don't want to be dragging that one with you. You want to use the little one.
Precisely. Now, this one is, of course, it's smaller. The exterior dimensions are 22 by 13.81 by 9 inches. The interior dimensions, about 19.75 by 11 by 7.6. So, again, that is the maximum allowed by the FAA. I know you see larger bags on planes all the time. They're not supposed to bring them.
Right.
But if you have this, if they tell you you can't bring that on, you can say no.
No, you're lying.
Yeah, actually, it's the exact size.
And some of those other bags you can kind of compress. This is solid.
Solid. Yeah. That's the other nice thing I like about this, which is this is one of those bags that I can carry it on, but let's say I have extra allowance. I am completely okay with checking this in.
Right.
This will do perfectly fine in the cargo hold. In fact, most of the time, this travels in the cargo hold.
Well, and then one of the things is when I've gone out on shoots and I need to get a little bit of extra height, like I say I have a tripod or something, I will stand on the case to use it like so I can get above people's heads. Yeah. So it's nice that they're solid enough for that.
Now, the thing is, this is still 12 pounds. It's a little heavy. That's just the case. That's nothing else. And remember, the other one was about 25 pounds. Once you add in the phone, that's 30 pounds. That's only leaving you 20 pounds for your cargo. What if I told you that there was a way to get all of the Pelican goodness, the toughness, the size, but drop about 40% of the case weight and give that 40% back to your cargo?
Oh, I know exactly how you would do that. You just drill holes every quarter inch along the case, right?
Well, you could do that.
You suffer structural integrity, but it's lighter. So.
Yeah. That's definitely something you could do. Or you could do this.
Oh, I didn't.
If you live in the world of video, you know that your gear
is precious. And you need something to protect it, to make sure that it's padded, to make sure that you can transport it from gig to gig, which is why I, along with most other professionals, choose Pelican. This is the case that I use to travel with my podcasting gear. It's the largest case available that you can bring onto a plane, but I also use the larger sizes to move everything from a TriCaster to my multiple camera setup. Now, if you like Pelican, you're going to love the Pelican Air. I'm here with Kevin Murphy, who's going to explain why Pelican has taken some of the weight out of your favorite case. Kevin, what is Pelican Air?
It's the lightest protector case on the planet. It has up to 40% less weight because we've worked for the last couple of years to really drive out all of the weight. A lot of redesign going on in the case, lighter material, HPX2 resin, and also just from our legacy, we know how to build these things and test them with military, fire services, law enforcement. These are the kind of people who really taught us how to build rugged cases. Now we've figured out how to do the same thing with the same lifetime guarantee, but make it much lighter.
Let's talk a little bit about that history, because it is a rich history. This is why people trust Pelican, because your cases have been used to protect everything from military hardware to the most sensitive of microelectronics. What makes the Pelican brand so, well, synonymous with strength and protection?
Well, it's all about, as you say, our customers that drove us to build the toughest case in the world. So the Pelican Protector case, we're like a Kleenex. We're the descriptor for the category. People look at a Pelican case, that's what they expect, something that can really hold up. They throw them out of helicopters. They've survived tsunamis. We've seen all kinds of crazy stories. So it's a part of our survival story series. It's really what Pelican's all about.
Now, let's go back over some of that technology, because there have been other entries into this industry, and most of them have had to pivot away because, well, Pelican takes the lion's share of the business. What is it about your design specifically that has allowed it to last for so long and has been, you know, the popular choice for professionals?
Well, here's the 1535. This is a travel carry-on size case. Here it's got the new premium padded divider set, and we've done quite a few things to try to improve the performance of this. One is adding a new business card holder. So you can just slip this out and put your own business card inside of the holder. It can be placed also in the end position here so that you can have it on a rack, on a shelf, and be able to see what the contents are. Now, this case is about 30% lighter than our original 1510 carry-on size. And once you remove that, you can see the inside has all been cored out. You can see examples like in the latch here where it's got the exoskeleton design in the handle especially. Here it's got a totally hollow handle and a honeycomb design in the trolley handle. So everything's just become much, much lighter overall.
And still. Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about this, because here are two sizes that are just about the same. They're designed both to be carried onto a plane. And as you can see, although I love the original, the new one, the Air, looks so much lighter. And when I lifted this up, I was shocked, because it really is about 40% less weight for what you say is the same amount of strength. How does that work?
Well, it's about removing material only in the flat areas. We also use a new material called HPX2. And that material is lighter. We hired material scientists who were able to really engineer a new material. So it has a little bit more rebound. It'll take impact and bounce off versus shattering. So we've worked a lot on the material choices as well.
All right. Now, here's the brass tacks question, because I know there's a lot of people out there like me who are kind of muttering under our breaths because now we have to replace all of our Pelican cases. When are these going to be available? How much are they going to cost from the series on up?
Well, they're actually designed price-wise to fit right inside of our line. So depending on cubic volume, if it's a little bit bigger case than what you have now, you'll find that the price is just slightly more. Same for going down the size. So it's all very equivalent to what you expect to pay for a Pelican case. I'll also tell you, though, that we're going to have a new trade-in program. So if you do have Pelican cases, you can get a 30% off by trading in your old Pelican case. Or, heck, bring us our competitors. We'll take any of those as well. So up to 30% for about the next 3 months.
Okay, you just made my day. For the folks at home, could you please tell them where they can find out more about the new series of Pelicans, and especially tell them where they can find out about this trade-in program, because I know they're going to want to know.
It's pelican.com/air, and we'll have the list of all the participating dealers for that on that site.
Kevin, thank you so very much for improving the gear that we all trust our toys to. Folks, if you need to fly, you got to try a Pelican.
I get it, because a pelican's a bird. And if you want to fly with your gear...
You know, it's not as clever you when you do it.
When you have to explain it? No, you're right. It's not. You're right.
Oh, but it is a huge, huge difference. Okay, so Brian, do this for me. I emptied this out. This is the empty weight of the Pelican 1650, which I think is the gold standard. I love this case.
This is the one we were just looking at.
Yeah, just feel that.
It's heavy duty.
Okay, like, it's heavy duty. That's 25 pounds.
I mean, I work out, so it's like, all right, not a big deal. But
I don't
it
work
is,
out.
It's, it got a, it's got heft.
All right,
to
so
it.
Take that off. Go ahead. Put that on the ground here.
It's over here.
Now, here is the equivalent. This is the Pelican 1615. This is the Pelican Air. Go ahead and here, give that a try.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, sorry. No.
Wow.
Actually, that's a really big difference.
It's
this
huge,
is
huge,
half
huge
the weight, difference. Right?
Yeah. Well,
it feels
I mean,
like half.
Well, that's 25 pounds. This is under 17.
Yeah.
Which, like, I mean, that is huge. It's this, about the same size. It's actually a little bit higher, a little bit less wide and a little less deep, but about the same volume on the inside. And as he was saying, what they did was they realized you could take some of the strength out of the flat parts.
Mm-hmm.
They use a honeycomb lattice, and then they use a new material, the HPE.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing, I think, is actually stronger than the old 1650. But, you know, it's so much lighter. Think about it. If you've got a 25-pound bag, so you can only fit 25 pounds of cargo before you hit your 50-pound limit,
yeah.
Instead you use this, and you can put in, you know, 32 pounds of stuff before you hit your limit.
Well, and that's the difference between having enough batteries and probably not having enough batteries.
Right. Or, because I didn't get this before I went away to Rome. I had to use the 1650,
yeah.
And what happened was the only thing I could put in that case, because they were going to limit me to 50 pounds,
mm-hmm.
I could put my camera and my Predator laptop. That's the only thing that would fit under the budget. If
wow.
I had already received this,
mm-hmm.
I could have put two cameras, the laptop, all the batteries, and the mics.
Hmm.
I mean, that's huge.
So the real test, though, is we take it out
and
we
it.
Shoot it, right?
Why does everything become shooting with you? I don't understand that.
If it wasn't your own money, you would do it.
I would.
Yeah.
Now, that's not the only one. I mean, remember that other one, that small one? Look
yeah.
at this. It's a little baby pelican.
Aww.
This is the 1485. This is not the largest that you can get onto a carry-on, but this is perfect if you're doing, you know, little projects, little machine
yeah.
work. And this thing only weighs, I mean, feel this. Even with the foam, that thing is, what, like 8 pounds?
It's a lot lighter than it looks.
It is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because
when you think of Pelican, you think of heavy duty, you think of kind of stocky.
Yeah.
Pelican Air really has changed that.
I guess so, but you look at things like this, and the volume of space that they take up gives you an imaginary kind of like, oh, this probably weighs a lot more than it looks.
You just lift it. Oh, how about that?
I like it.
Now, they are more expensive. The 1615, which is the competitor to the 1650,
yeah.
the 1650 will cost you like $220. The Air version will be closer to $300. So it is more expensive.
So $40 more?
No, it's going to be closer to like $60 more.
So oh, $60
more.
More.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
let me ask you one thing before you
sure.
go. Is have you bought a Pelican case, and then how long have you had it for?
I've had that 1650 for about 7 years now.
So it's not like you bought one and you had to replace it.
No, I've never had to replace a case, ever. And that smaller one, mm-hmm. the 1510, I've had that for since it came out, so about mm-hmm. 9 years.
So I'm wondering, like, if you're going to pay a little bit extra and have it forever...
Yeah.
Okay, continue.
My luggage lasts maybe 3 years. That's
you travel a lot, too.
I do. Like, so that's my problem. That's my fault.
You have enough travel points that you can get first class and send me to coach and then.
Hey, okay, you
waft
keep bringing
the cookie.
I offered to switch with you. I said you can take my first class seat. And what did you
right.
say? You're like, no, I'm fine, bro. I'm fine. I don't want to move up there.
It's true. I knew your old knees couldn't handle the crunched up space.
Do the old man thing. that's
but I interrupted you. I don't think you finished saying how much the prices were between the smaller versions.
No. We're done with that. No, thanks with the old man thing.
I
but seriously, if you are looking to protect any of your gear. And you're looking at doing it without paying outlandish shipping fees,
mm-hmm.
the Pelican Air is absolutely worth it. I mean, think about mm-hmm. it. The $60 difference between the 1650 and the Pelican Air of the same size, that's less than one overweight baggage fee going right. across the Atlantic.
I see.
It's a no-brainer for most people. In fact, I'm probably going to be giving my 1650s to my brother because I'm going to replace them all. I'm replacing everything with Airs.
Okay.
It doesn't make any sense for me to use anything other than one of these. These cases are the new hotness.
So I guess what you're saying is, if you want to fly higher, you should give your Pelican a little more air. Silence? Just silence?
Yeah,
really?
No,
come
that.
On.
No.
Come on.
No, we're done. We are done. Special.
Insert cricket noises now.
All right. Let's one last bit, because this is important. Once you're on site, once you're filming, once you're doing your thing, all your gear's arrived because you've got shiny new Pelicans or Pelican Airs. Mm-hmm. You're set up with your camera. Your audio is perfect. Question is, how are you going to hold everything steady? Because this is not attractive. Alex, if you would please. You know, this is kind of nice. I mean, yeah, I could turn on image stabilization, but that, I mean, after a while, that just starts looking really
well
amateur.
And you just picked up the camera. Give yourself about 5 minutes during an interview or something.
If you have Kara, actually, there was one event we had Kara, and she was doing an interview with me, and she started to faint.
she started
to do this. Patrick had to grab the camera.
See, that's when you know if the person you're interviewing is really engaged, and they're still like,
they're following the lens.
It's okay. I'm still here.
Now, so what we wanted to do was to look at a couple of sticks, monopods and tripods, things that I've used in the field so that my shots don't look like that.
Right.
And the first one I want to take a look at is this. This, John Jammer B bought one for Twit, and I so fell in love with it, I bought one of my own.
Oh, you did?
I did. So this is mine. This is mine. All mine.
So you didn't just straight up steal that from Kara?
No.
Because she will cut you.
She will cut me. She loves this thing. This is the Manfrotto. This is the MVM500A. This is a aluminum fluid monopod with one of their 500 heads. We've got a link here. It's not cheap. This is a $260
Manfrotto.
But it is absolutely worth it. This thing only weighs 6.1 pounds. It supports up to an 11-pound camera. Mm-hmm. It's the minimum height. This is 30.31 inches. It goes all the way up to 79 inches. So, I mean, you can get this thing up there, which means you could use it to, like, hold cameras if you want to, like, get it above the crowd.
That's
just fine. But the thing that does it for us, and the reason why Kara loves it, is this.
Yeah, the fluid bottom mount. Yeah.
Look at this thing. So this comes out, and believe it or not,
you can stand it up.
You can actually stand it.
There's been a few events where it's fun to freak people out, too, where you're holding it.
Yeah, just walk away.
And then you walk away, and people
are like, It's like, no, it's fine.
Oh, it's okay.
It's good. Don't worry about it, bro. Don't worry about it. Quick release plate, but it also has one of these fluid heads. And if you're ever going to do any kind of professional work, the fluid head is the way to go. Let me show you what I mean by that. So I'm going to go ahead and extend my leg because I want to get it right about, no, it's a little higher, right about, yeah, right about there. So I can have my my monopod hands off. It'll stay up here. Let's go ahead and load this thing in.
Quick release.
So I just push down on this and then I tighten it to make sure that it stays where it's supposed to stay.
Boom.
And I've got a friction control on this side, so I can control how much force I need in order to turn this, pan it, tilt it, et cetera, et cetera. But now take a look. Go ahead and go back over, Alex. So what I can do is, because it's a fluid head, it actually gives me a little bit of restriction. So when I do these smooth pans, it's not juggling and up and down the same thing. It just feels so much better. Here, Brian, when, you know, you're actually professional. I'm just pretending.
Oh, right, totally.
There you go.
Try it out.
What do you think?
Ooh, that's nice.
Right?
Because the worst thing you can have when you're trying to tilt or pan is that... Yeah, it's that moment where you give it a little bit of force
and then it breaks.
And it jumps.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Those are the friction type. That's why this is a fluid head. So it deliberately has, it's not linear, but it's sort of an exponential resistance to movement.
Right.
And you can set that with that knob. And that's what gives you those smooth pans. If you try to do this by hand, it absolutely won't work. And if you try to do it with optical image stabilization,
I like that.
What will happen is it will jump. Like, because the OIS doesn't always keep up with what you want to shoot.
No, that's really nice. And then
walk away.
Still, like, gets me, too. I'm like, I shouldn't.
I wouldn't
want to
get
that
too far away.
No, it is
nice knowing that I could leave it there and, like, just take a step back and maybe frame up a bit more and then come back to it.
Well, the nice thing is that you don't have to apply any external pressure. Like, you can just maintain the spot. And then what that ends up happening is there's less fatigue on trying to do something.
Right.
Like,
right.
You're not trying to hold it, so you can focus on your picture. Yeah. And that's what you want.
And you can actually tighten the thing at the bottom, to make it less likely that it will fall over if someone bumps it. I don't want to do that because I like the fluid.
Yes. And unlike Kara's, I took that one apart.
I saw that.
Yeah, I almost didn't get it back together.
I saw that.
I think it works
okay.
It happened
in Vegas. We were in Vegas when that happened.
It did, because it wouldn't fit in the luggage.
I was like, oh, Kara's going to cut you.
She was going to cut me, but I figured it out. I put it back together. It seems to work okay.
Wait, before you disassemble that, give me that back.
Well, I don't need to disassemble this one.
No, because this one's mine. That's right. Into my case. $260 is a lot of money, but Brian, you know this. A good pair of sticks, I can't put enough value on them.
Yeah, definitely.
It changes the way you shoot, and it changes the quality of your shot. And then when you want to fold it up, you just pull the little tab, fold the feet back up. You're back down to 30 inches,
mm-hmm.
and you've got the quick release plate right here. I just unscrew it really quickly, like so, put a little pressure, and I'm out.
And that's the thing, is when you're using these pieces of equipment, these are the things that are helping you pay for them, right?
Yeah.
You're making money so that you can also use these things. And if you cheap out and your end result isn't as nice as it should be...
They don't hire you again.
Right.
There's a gig I've been doing in Orlando for... 6 years now? And yeah, it cost me a lot of money because I upgraded my capabilities in order to give them good quality.
Yeah.
But they've hired me back for 6 years, and it's choice gig. I mean, it's $6,000 every time I do that.
Oh, you don't say. I might have time off around that if they need a second camera.
I've been trying to vouch for you because I love you, bro. All right, let's go to the next one. Some people are going to say, $260, are you out of your mind? I can't afford that.
I could buy a 1060 GTX for that price.
Yeah.
I've been looking at graphics cards a lot.
What if I told you that you could get something that was kind of like that, that was lighter, that maybe didn't have the little feet at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
but could be a tripod or a monopod?
I say it doesn't exist, Pondre.
It does. If you go to that link there, Alex, this is the newer, it's a carbon fiber 66-inch tripod / monopod. Now, this thing is cheaper. It's only $100 versus $260. It's got a fluid head, just like the Manfrotto. It's not as nice of a fluid head. It will give you smooth shots, but you kind of have to put a bit more work into it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got a minimum length of 17.7 inches, so it's shorter. It will actually pack into that smaller Pelican case.
Looks pretty light,
it
too.
Is. Actually, feel that. It is super light. It's only 3.3 pounds. So versus 6.1 pounds, it's 3.3.
Is this carbon fiber stocks on
carbon fiber, exactly. And it supports way more. That does 11 pounds. This will do 26.5 pounds.
That's a lot of weight.
That is a lot of weight. Now, here's how it works. These actually fold back over, and then they got that little ratchet system. And so in this particular mode, it works just like a regular tripod.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is it's carbon fiber, and it's got a fluid head so that I can get more, if you feel the resistance on this, I can get more of that fluid feel. So it doesn't break. It kind of just requires you to put a little bit of force.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a handle like the Manfrotto, so you actually have to turn the camera, but it's still nice.
Yeah. I like it.
However, that's not what gets me excited about this.
What is it?
Here's what gets me excited about this.
The extension?
One of the legs here, if you just do this, what happens is you can take off one of the carbon fiber legs. You can take off the head.
Okay.
Like so. And once I have that off...
Skeptical.
Yeah, are you feeling the skeptics?
I'm feeling a little skeptical.
Yeah, all right. No, that's fine. You know what? It's good for you to be a skeptic because it'll make it so much more satifying when you love this.
I don't know. It just... Oh, take the head, I see now. Okay.
Do that.
Okay. Because a lot of times it's like, all you have to do is these 15 easy steps.
No, I mean, this is actually super, super simple.
Oh, yeah.
And the nice thing about this is once I've got it on, I've got the same fluid head. I've got
the same ultra...
I mean... Now that thing
is super light.
It's less than 2 pounds.
Yeah.
That's actually closer to a pound.
You could just like utility belt that.
Right. But I go from tripod to monopod, and that extends at the bottom so I can get it all the way up there.
Yeah.
The quick release plate is not nearly as good as the Manfrotto, and the fluid head is not nearly as good as the Manfrotto.
This is pretty versatile.
But for $100 to be able to go from tripod to monopod in under a minute, I like this.
Okay, how many events have you shot with this?
That's actually brand new, so I've only done one.
See, and that would be my only point of contention.
How long will it last?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it does feel really solid. None of the components feel like it has a nice rubber texture on each of the extensions, and the carbon fiber looks nice, and the head feels solid, all metal construction. So
that's the thing about carbon fiber, though. If it was aluminum, first it would be heavier.
Right.
But aluminum, you kind of know when it's about to go because things start to bend, they start to dent.
Carbon fiber doesn't like the
carbon
bend.
Fiber doesn't do that. Carbon fiber, just when it goes, it goes.
It's gone.
It just shatters. It cracks.
But
we're going to use this in CES, so I'm going to give it a good floor use, and I think it's still going to stand up really well.
Yeah. No, I like it.
Yeah.
Kind of like having a staff on set too.
You shall not pass.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. All right. How about for those people for whom that is still too expensive? They're like, $100, Padre, please. I'm eating tater tots for dinner. I need something a bit more in my range.
Wait a minute. You eat tater tots and you don't even need to.
I like tater tots.
Tater tots are awesome.
I got a little something for you. This is about as cheap as I'd want to go. I actually do travel with this because look how small this is.
That's the one I have.
This is the Sony VCT. It's an R100. It only weighs 1.8 pounds. It supports up to 7 pounds. It's a max height of 39 inches, folds into 14 inches. I use this for like webcams or for holding up lights. It is horrible for panning.
No. So I have that exact tripod. I use it for setting up my DSLR when I'm doing product reviews.
Static shot, it's perfect. And it is, I mean, this is something that you could throw in like your travel backpack. It weighs so little and it is so light and so small. It's almost like it's always with me because it's a backup.
Right.
In fact,
right.
One of these sits in my trunk at all times.
Just in case.
I mean, I've got so much gear that can mount on tripods. It's $30. Actually, I think we should already show them the link. So it's about $30 on Amazon. You can get it a little less. I've seen these as low as $20.
Actually, I think Leo gave me the one I have.
Probably. Right. Because he probably got tired of how it looks when he pans it.
Yeah, no, it's not for that. It's set it and forget it.
Set it and forget it. But for what it does, it's actually quite good. And I've played with a lot of cheap tripods because I had to buy about 60 of these because we made a bunch of content kits for Jesuits. So I bought two dozen cheap tripods that would fit into our Pelican cases. And of the dozens that I tested, this was the only one I'm like, okay, this will last. This is actually about 9 years old.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's, again, this has been around the world with my other gear.
Yeah.
It still looks relatively new. It was well made.
Yeah, this is almost the like idiot-proof tripod. Yeah. Like, you can throw it down, it's easy to use, simple mechanics,
and if you break it, you're not going to go, oh my gosh, I just lost a $400 tripod. You're like, oh, I lost a $30 tripod.
Right. As long as your camera equipment isn't attached to it, then you might be a little bit more sad.
Now, that's an idiot-proof tripod, but what if I tell you I have an idiot tripod?
Thought you were going to say a Brian tripod. No.
So this is a shoulder mount.
It looks so natural.
Okay. Actually, all of the footage I did in Rome, I did with this.
Really?
Because I needed to be mobile. I didn't want to be bound by sticks. Because
it looks like a medieval like torture device.
It looks like the pear.
That's
not good. But this thing will fit. It works fine with my my Panasonic camera. The one thing I will say is that you are the tripod. So if you are out of shape and you're wheezing a lot, you'll see the footage moving. Yeah.
Heavy breathing.
Which is why
the internal mic.
My shots were only about a minute and a half long because that's as long as I can hold my breath.
Okay.
Just so you know.
It makes you more mobile though, right?
Right.
You can kind of look around and move and stuff. Yeah.
And we have a link for this, right? This is a newer shoulder mount. It's $20. So I mean, if you're gonna get one of the other ones, try this. It might be for you. It might not. But it's so inexpensive. Why not give it a try?
So where you're really saving the money is you are the tripod.
You are the tripod.
Yeah.
but realistically, go for the nicer, newer, the carbon fiber one, or the Manfrotto.
Yes, but there is a need for shoulder-mounted camera holding.
Because,
all right, there's only so many instances where you can have a monopod and move around. Mm-hmm. right? And then if you have the shoulder mount, you can actually like follow someone if they're doing, like, I know when you do an interview, sometimes you like to, I'm going to try not to stand all the way out of the frame, but you'll start over and then you'll
walk
into the
frame. Because it's natural. It makes me look like, oh, you know, I was just hanging out here and I found this fascinating guy. How about that?
And I wouldn't say that you could do that with a monopod because you'd be trying to hold that up. And then when you finally get to the spot where you stop walking, you then have to set it down and try and not to jiggle the camera, which it would be easier to have a shoulder mount camera and then follow you and then stop.
Yeah. Well, folks, we hope you enjoyed this. This is our tips, things that we've learned over the years of our experience here at Twit TV and actually even beyond that. If you want to find out where you can get any of the gear that we've talked about, from the Pelican cases to the tripods, the monopods, and the lights and the little gadgets and gizmos, whatever.
Like, yeah,
those things that we talked about, you can always find them at our show page, which, Brian, where do we hide that?
Yeah, we hide it in a very secret location on the internet, and don't tell anyone, but you can find it at, you're going to be surprised by this.
I know, right?
www.
Whoa.
Wait.
Wait.
Is that too many W's?
No, that's what it's about.
I messed it up already.
Gone too far.
Okay. Forget the W's. You don't even need to know the W's to begin with. It's just twit.tv/KH. Go to that link. Not only will you find the show notes for all the things that we talked about on this episode, but you will find the links to everything and subscribe to video so you don't miss an episode.
Yeah, folks, it helps us out. It helps us grow the show so that we can always give you more awesome DIY and maker information for your geeky goodness. Also, don't forget that we have a group, a social group, on Google Plus. Just go to Google Plus and look for Know How. There's a little approval process so we can keep out all the spam accounts and the cam girls, which are very annoying, very annoying.
I mean, the whole reason the group exists is just to kind of show off projects that are better than
ours. Please do. Show off all the gear that you've made. Or if you're a newbie, you get access to over 10,000 Kitas, that's know-it-alls, who can help you in your maker DIY journey. Again, go to Google Plus and look for know-how.
That's right. But if you want to ask us a question directly or you want to see what we're doing when we're not goofing around on the show, you want to follow us on Twitter. I am at @cranky_hippo.
And you're going to find me at @PadreSJ. And you're going to find the third member of our team, Hal Gurney. Haley's.
He used to work on the Letterman show.
Oh, right. Hale Gurney. You're going to find him at ANELF3. Again, twitter.com/ANELF3.
He's not going to correct us?
No. That's
it. I'm tired.
He needs more Sky. Until next time, I am Father Robert Ballasaire.
And I'm Brian Burnett.
And now that you know how,
go record it. I thought you were going to switch to that. Go record it. I was hoping.
Let's give him that one more time. Ready? And stay on him. And now that you know how,
go record it. So seamless.
Nobody will know.
No one will know. We will edit it into perfection.
Or we will just leave that in and people go, what the hell?